Thank you, Dawn. So welcome everyone to Awakening Together's weekly gathering on Sunday, July 7th, 2019. And I wanted to welcome everyone in the sanctuary. It's so great to see everybody's face and be able to read your chats on the chat board. Welcome to everyone listening on AT Radio and anyone that happened to be listening to the recording at a later date. So I will have Dawn play our welcoming song, and please greet each other on the chat board. I'd love to see where everybody's from, all over different states and different countries.
The calling of the mystic, awakening, in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
You. I love that song. So Awakening Together's purpose, our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in a common purpose, awakening to oneself. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And of our five core values, I chose the first value for this morning, which is, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. I chose the first core value because it most closely aligns with my message for today. So I was given grace to talk about today, embrace grace. So the announcements, Regina sent me an email, so I'll read the announcements off my phone. First announcement, join us this coming October for Awakening Together's Fall Retreat, this time in La Vida, Colorado. Our annual retreat is a bit like a family reunion, a time when we get together, be together, learn together, have insights together, eat fabulous food together, play together, and awaken together. Although we are usually physically separated, spread across the US, Canada, Europe, Australia, and more, We have come to know each other well, and we care for each other deeply. So it is really nice to come together once a year for our fall retreat. This year's retreat promises to be fruitful, both in deepening insights and in deepening friendships. As you know, there are two retreats to choose from, or you can come to both. They are priced very economically, and the retreat fee includes both lunch and dinner every day. We know you'll love Cheryl's cooking. Hi, Cheryl, if you're there. She puts all of her love and food into love, all of her love into the food she makes for us, and you can taste it. Also, Jackie Greggs, an AT member and professional singer, will perform for us at the end of the self-awareness retreat. So for full details about this year's fall retreat and to register, go to awakeningtogether.org, awakening-together.org. Don't forget the dash. And look under retreats and classes on the menu bar for AT fall retreat. Second announcement. Jay, hi Jay, has announced this month's movie. It's Inception, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Ellen Page. This movie is about a thief who steals corporate secrets through the use of dream-sharing technology, who is given an inverse task of planting an idea into the mind of a CEO. The movie is filled with spiritual themes and will make for a lively discussion at our next movie discussion group, Sunday, July 28th. Jay has developed an amazing play sheet. He always has these great questions to help you contemplate the movie's spiritual themes. You can find that on our website under Audios and Videos, Sanctuary Highlights, Movie Watchers Group. Well, third and last announcement. Join us in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m., 5 p.m. on the left coast, Pacific Coast, for Reflections of the Retreat House. June was a busy month at the Retreat House. We had a self-inquiry retreat, two mini retreats, and a few individual guests, which is really cool. We're getting outside people to come in. Regina posted pictures from June on our website under Retreat House. Have a look. Oops. Pictures worth 1,000 words. If you haven't seen them yet, have a look and then join us at 8 p.m. tonight to hear from the people who visited the Retreat House in June. Discover the value they found in their visit. So I hope everyone will come to the Retreat House, especially for the fall retreat. That's going to be like way too much fun. Okay, I'm going to play our opening song and bear with me while I share my screen. right. That was Matthew Grace. There's a plethora of songs about grace, which was really cool. So I went on a great discovery of all kinds of great songs about grace. And Aggie sent me a really sweet one too. Thank you, Aggie. So time for our prayer. I'd like to invite anyone who would like to join me for prayer. Help us, dear God, dear Spirit, the one true self. Help us to be empty so that we can be filled with truth. Let us surrender so that you can move through us and live through us. Thank you for this Sangha. Gratitude for the gifts of grace that we are given. And bless each and every one of us as we come with joyful hearts and open minds to your embrace. Amen. Okay, I have asked Reverend Jay McCormick to do the reading for us today. He'll be reading from Adyashante's book, Falling into Grace. Let me see it. Take it away, Jay.
Okay. Thank you, Shauna. Congratulations on your first homily. It's very exciting. This is chapter 11, Falling into Grace. As Shauna said from Adyashante, I want to return to the topic of grace and how it relates to this journey of awakening and moving beyond suffering. Grace is a difficult thing to define, to pin down. It's often thought of as a rather positive moment or event. However, we've all had experiences of extreme difficulty where, when we look back, we see that these were times when we transformed the most, when we made the biggest leap in our personal evolution. In retrospect, we view these challenging times as necessary steps on the path. We see that these events are infused with grace. They were a gift, something that was given to us to help us wake up. In essence, grace is anything that helps us truly open our minds, our bodies, our emotions, our hearts. Sometimes grace is soft and beautiful. It appears as insight. It comes as a sudden understanding, or maybe just a blossoming in our hearts, the breaking open of our emotional bodies so that we can feel more deeply and connect with what is and with each other in a deeper way. Grace can also be quite fierce. There are times in life that are very, very trying. At that time, grace might be hard to recognize, but as we think back to these powerful times in our lives, we can start to see the great gift that was received. For me, grace appeared that day I became so completely frustrated after 4 years of ardent meditation to no end. As I mentioned earlier, my experience at that moment was, quote, that's it. I'll never be able to break through. I'll never find out what enlightenment is, quote. That moment was extremely devastating. It was like everything within me became absolutely exhausted. I truly felt that I was defeated, and I actually was. Nothing in me wanted to go on. Nothing in me had any hope for the future. I remember sitting in my little meditation hut, and I felt absolutely crushed. I became convinced that this was the end of my whole spiritual life. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do now? My spiritual life is over. I've failed. And as I sat there in that moment of utter and absolute defeat, a defeat that was so total that I didn't even feel sorry for myself, in the middle of that moment, my heart just began to flower. It was like a golden love was being poured in right into my being. It was as if I could hear everything, and it was just singing with this love. I went out of the hut, and everything I looked at was an expression of this love, a manifestation of this love. the whole universe was nothing but this immense, infinite love, which I was being bathed in. It was then that I heard a voice, which was very odd to me, because in my spiritual life, I wasn't prone to visions or hearing voices. I didn't know where it came from, but it just said, "This is how I love you, and this is how you shall love all beings everywhere." When I heard this voice, I knew it was true. This inner voice had told me something that I'd known all along, that I could never make contact with. What I didn't know is that I'd been showered with this love my entire life, but that I was never completely open to it. This love also put down a challenge to me. It said, "This is how you shall love all things and all beings." I remember thinking, I have no idea how to do that. How could I possibly love like this? This immensity of unconditioned love was just washing over me in waves, and I couldn't possibly even consider how I could love in that same way, and yet somehow I knew it was possible. Somehow I knew it that it could happen and would happen. I don't know when, and I don't know where, but somehow I knew. This was a moment of grace. The entire experience was grace. The feeling of being absolutely defeated, having nowhere to go, and feeling that there was no way out, feeling totally despondent with my spiritual search, it was all grace. Sometimes grace cuts through us like a knife. It was this defeat that opened me up, opened my body, opened my mind, and it was only through this experience of being defeated that I could finally be open to the immensity of this unconditioned love. This wasn't the last time I would feel defeated, nor was it the last time that grace showed itself to me. Actually, as the years went on, my whole spiritual life became one defeat after another. But with each moment of defeat, at each moment where I felt I was up against a brick wall I didn't know how to get beyond, I was stopped more and more. And each time I was stopped, grace would reveal itself. As time went on, I realized that I didn't have to struggle so hard. I didn't have to fight with life or with myself in order to open to grace. But it took many, many defeats before I could open willingly and surrender the grace that is always there. That concludes the reading. Back to you, Shauna.
Thank you, Jay. Well, you brought those words alive. I've read that a dozen times, and I even heard I heard things that I hadn't heard before. Thank you very much for that. Looks like Anne's little dog is in the video. That's so funny. Okay, time for my inspirational teaching. And I was given the topic of grace, and Dawn actually helped with the title, Embrace Grace. Thank you, Dawn. That was awesome. Embrace Grace. So part of how the teaching and the homily comes is grace. It is grace because I sit with pen and pencil and just write what comes through, write notes during the week as inspiration comes. So that in itself is grace. So I will explore what's with spirit today, what grace is, how it appears in life, and how we can choose to miss it or embrace it. And I wanted to clarify that today I'm not going to be talking of the furry feline friend, Jacqueline's Grace, who is her kitty, who graces us many times in the sanctuary during the week. But grace is difficult to define, as Adi Ashanti said. Words seem to be a mere reflection of the experience. Can't be really captured by words, its essence. So looking back on events, sometimes we can choose to see the gift of grace from hindsight. Other times, the inspiration is so undeniable, you know it's grace right here, right now. As awareness becomes a habit, a part of one's moment-to-moment presence, grace can be seen as it happens. And for me, grace appears in many forms, but it always includes a shift in perception. I can't see the same way after grace just drops in as the gift it is. This is a gift that Adi Shanti speaks of, something that is given to help us wake up, that helps us truly open. A moment of grace can stand before us, stark, beautiful, and undeniable. Its gift is a reminder that there's something else going on here besides what's appearing in front of us. It's beyond that appearance, behind what the thinking mind would have us see. It shows a glimpse into what is. So how does grace appear? As Adi Shanti says, grace is sometimes soft and beautiful, sometimes fierce and difficult. It appears as insight, sudden understanding, or a looking back and thinking, aha, that's what that was. It's a blossoming of our heart when we truly open to what is, to the gift, to truth, to ourself. So I would like to read the part of the introduction from Falling into Grace, too, where Adi Shanti says, beyond even any teaching, though, the aspect of spiritual life that is the most profound is the element of grace. Grace is something that comes to us when we somehow find ourselves completely available, when we become open-hearted and open-minded, and are willing to entertain the possibility that we may not know what we think we know. In this gap of not knowing, in the suspension of any conclusion, a whole other element of life and reality can rush in. This is what I call grace. It's that moment of aha, a moment of recognition, when we realize that something previously we never quite imagined before. That's just beautiful. So to share some of my experiences of grace in my life, it's the aha moments. Those are some of the most memorable ones in a teaching. Like, this has happened a lot recently with Regina's teachings. She'll say something which comes through her, and I'll go, aha, and you feel it sink in. You feel this perception change, and I just have to look up and go, oh. And then take that moment, let that sink in. Don't throw that gift away. Be with it. Allow it to go deeply inside. And I find it really helpful to write a few key words. If you're busy, just write a few key words down and then go back later and contemplate, sit with it. And I can just write pages as that continuing grace flows through. So that is actually the recognition of the truth that our heart already knows. And this recognition does rush in, thank God. I do nothing to bring this grace in. It's truly a gift. Another way that guidance, that grace comes through is guidance or intuition. When I ask, what would you have me do now? What would you have me see? What would you have me say? When I stay open to that, after asking the question, it just comes in. It comes in exactly what to say, what to do. Because grace knows. Grace knows the goodest, the highest, the best thing for all. It's not selfish. It's selfless. So some examples of how grace shows up, it shows up through our brothers and sisters, for sure. even if it's just a comment or a conflict, a loving touch, a loving look, a stern look, a stern reprimand. An action from a brother or sister can be looked at later and seen as, that's the lesson I need to learn. We are so blessed to have each other because we are each other's teachers. So grace can be as simple as a slight breeze caressing your face out in nature. A lot of times I find when I just sit in nature, I find a rock to cuddle with and just open to nature, the breeze always comes in and caresses my face. I think that's grace. As a heart opening, grace can come as a heart opening when giving is genuine and selfless. That feeling of healing when a forgiveness is genuinely given and offered. Grace comes as a felt sense of release and relief when a false idea is seen, deeply looked at, and let go. Grace comes as an energized connection when people actually really deeply listen to each other, be present with each other, and come away energized and inspired by each other. There's the indescribable dancing in the heart when you give and help another person. And I have an example of that, Remember my favorite things to do when I lived in Paradise, I was the volunteer coordinator for a daytime support center for homeless and those at risk of being homeless. And a man came in who was camped out in the woods living in his car. And he said, I'm very proud. People had to talk me into coming in, but I really want to hear someone and just be able to talk to you and be with you. And I could use some food. So we fed him and we gave him some canned food to go. And as we just sat with him and allowed him to talk and just be present with him, it came up that he was crippled. His legs were very swollen. And sleeping in his car, he was so uncomfortable. And grace came through me, and I remembered we had this old, thick piece of foam. And I pulled that piece of foam out and gave it to that man. And oh my God, he cried, he hugged. He was so happy. It was such a blessing for him to sleep on foam. I mean, how simple is that? Oh my God, we both cried, we all hugged, and we sent him off with the biggest smile he'd probably had in years. So that is the indescribable dancing in the heart when grace is given in that way. So there's also shifts in life when you're following guidance that grace really shows up as. And one of these in my life was moving to Paradise. I lived in Petaluma, which is about 45 minutes north of San Francisco, and I lived there for 20 or 30 years. And when my teacher moved to Paradise, my spiritual teacher, Daryl Morley Price, moved to Paradise. He said, you know, you think about coming on up. And I, nah, leave all my friends, leave my job, no way. But it kept coming in. It kept coming in as grace. And grace showed me exactly how to do that. Grace gave me the 5 steps I needed to do within a year. I'd moved to Paradise. Retired, quit my job, left my friends, left my horse. Actually, my horse found her own home. It was so cool. I had Susie, who was a carriage horse, and I'd retired her and brought her home with me. And where I was boarding her, she fell in love with this lady that was bringing her son for riding lessons. And Susie and this woman just fell in love with each other. And of course, she wanted a horse, had a place to keep her, and Susie's still alive and they love each other. So that's just an example of the way grace moves when you follow it. You allow it to move in my life. It's just beautiful. So moved to Paradise and dove deep into the spiritual life with my teacher. And just amazing things. I never would have done that without the movement of grace and guidance in my life and the desire to follow a spiritual life. But as Adi Ashanti says, grace can also be fierce. And as some of you know, the whole town of Paradise burned down. So I probably would not have moved from Paradise if the whole town hadn't burned down. And again, grace moved because I wasn't in town when that happened. I took a pet sitting job in a town in Sonoma County near Petaluma, where all my friends were. I took a job pet sitting there, so I wasn't in town when this happened. But there was no place to go back to. So asking, what would you have me do now? And I had offers from people in Petaluma. I could go right back to the beautiful horse ranch I lived in Petaluma. The apartment was available. I could do that, but it didn't feel right, so I kept asking. And then there's that fateful Sunday where Jay was doing his homily, and he said he had just bought a house in La Vita, and he needed a roommate. And I just knew, yes, that's it. I'm going to move to La Vita, become a minister of Awakening Together, and get really involved. And see that although that grace looked fierce, it ended up being one of the best things that's ever happened to me. So we want to look at everything that we are given and look for the blessing and the grace in it. So looking in for, actually I'd like to share, I think I have time, yeah. I'd like to share another example of fierce grace. When I was living in Paradise, my teacher moved. He likes to just travel around wherever he's moved or grace moves him. And we had to find another roommate. So a young man answered the ad for a room, and he walked in, and he was about 24 at the time, I think. His name was David, all tatted up. Man, tattoos everywhere, just all this attitude walked in with him. And I interviewed him, and everything in me was screaming, no, no, don't do it. And when he said, well, we got a deal, I heard yes come out. And I went, what? I heard yes come out. And then afterwards, I found out he was a violent felon. For some reason, I did a background check and it never showed up on his background check because grace, right? So I lived with him and we are still friends. I saved his life one time. He saved my life one time. He had a huge heart. He was an alcoholic, very destructive alcoholic, but he had the heart of gold. And we learned from each other in such a deep way that it's undeniable that grace brought us together despite appearances, which was a huge lesson for me, despite differences, despite the fear that came up. Man, the fear that came up when living with him was a huge blessing because I learned to look past the fear to the grace. So one of the most profound experiences of grace that I remember, and I remember this clearly, as a youngster about 7 years old. And my mom and dad were divorced. So it was my mom and my brother and I were visiting aunts and uncles. And I remember waking up and had this intense homesick feeling. I mean, intense, painful. I'm so homesick. And the whole room and my heart and my mind lit up with this golden light. And I felt so loved, completely accepted, like nothing would ever be wrong. Nothing could ever be wrong. And that was grace. It's beyond words how that felt. I'll never forget that. The feeling that all is well. And looking back, I get that was my genuine baptism. So let's look at how we block grace. Let me have a little drink of water here. So how do we block grace? In me, I see when I think I know something. As Adia said, we have to be open-hearted and open-minded, willing to entertain the possibility that we may not know what we think we know. Think being operative. Listening to that thinking mind, have to let that go. Allow a gap of not knowing for grace to come in. And I think expectation is a big part of how I block grace. Expecting things to be a certain way. Expecting grace to show up a certain way. Another thing that blocks grace for me is self-will. Our thinking mind or ego will tell us over and over in so many ways what is needed in all situations. But that's what reinforces its selfish, short-sighted self, the false personality. But it demands that we listen. Grace never demands. It always invites. It waits for our listening. Another thing that blocks grace for me is blame. Anytime I'm projecting responsibility outside of me onto anyone or anything, thinking that suffering is caused by anything or anyone outside of me, that everyone is against me or the world is against me, that blocks grace because I'm choosing to project outside my responsibility. Anytime I don't take responsibility for my own thinking, I block grace. Another way that I block grace is fighting life, fighting what is. Oh no, I want it this way. Even just from simple things like the temperature. Oh, it's so cold, I want it warmer. To this is the way I want my life to look. Grace can't come in. Grace won't try to come in. Grace will not force itself on us. Thank God. And through this, we have such freedom. We are loved so much because we are given the freedom to choose to listen or not. This may not seem like freedom, but it is amazing trust we are given. Our true self, God, whoever, whatever you call that that moves through us, trusts us so much that we are given the freedom to choose. So the good news is grace is always working, always being offered, always invited to us. That's the good news. It's actually continually offers over and over and over again. Thank goodness. It's always waiting for us. So how do we embrace grace? Be available, as Adyashante said, completely available. But what does that look like? Part of it is being empty, not filled with our own thoughts. For me, it's also surrender. That's actually a movement, an action of mind and heart that is surrender to something greater than us. And that takes trust, a trust that there is something greater than us. Living in receptivity, being willing to receive. This takes a conscious effort to lose interest in listening to that thinking mind. Sometimes it seems so entertaining, but it's not. It's not. That's not its mission. Its mission is to keep us distracted from being empty. A quiet mind, loving silence, living silence. Letting go of that self-will, the expectations that things have to be different, outcomes. Also asking for guidance in each moment and then following that guidance. I have trouble with that sometimes. I'll hear this beautiful guidance and then not follow through. Oh my gosh. But it comes again. Living from the Tao, Regina's beautiful teachings on Wednesdays that enlightened leadership is based on the Tao. Living from the Tao, don't swing the pendulum. Keep swinging that pendulum, wanting things my way. Live from the center, from the Tao. That brings in grace. Be present. I tend to be thinking about the next moment a lot. I've let the past die because it feels dead. Those are dead ideas. but I tend to kind of live in the future a little bit, not planning, but just kind of thinking about the future. But come to the present. Doesn't that feel completely different, being present in the now, especially in nature? It's so easy to be present with what's happening. And in nature, this whole world opens up when you become present. You see all this movement, all this life right in front of you. That's how all life can be all the time when we're present. And we can see grace happen. We can hear guidance. So again, it's trust. Trust that grace is always given. And once grace is seen, no add-ons. Don't add to it. Just accept it as it is. No add-ons. And gratitude. Gratitude is one of the keys to opening my heart to life, to grace, to guidance. And that's a felt sense. When you open your heart, it just expands out with no boundaries. And the freedom that I touched on, how we have this freedom to choose. That is such a huge responsibility to step into our freedom through choice. To not embrace grace and guidance now is to delay the gift. The gift doesn't go away, which is grace in itself. That just delays the grace. And we have that choice to delay. It's our choice. And it's up to us. So grace, as grace joyously waits to give its gift in each moment. This is a giving from oneself to oneself. It's one movement, continuous, forever on the wings of love. So inclusive and complete that the belief in illusion or a false self can fall away as the nothingness that it is. So another way that we can embrace grace, and I can't wait to hear how all of you guys embrace grace, is there's music is a huge way how we can embrace grace. Another's grace moves through them as music, as lyrics, as a message. Music is a beautiful way to open our hearts to life, to grace. Art, being creative, opening the creative side of ourselves. That is grace. That is our inner guidance, our inner wisdom. And again, through animals. Animals have a beautiful way of bringing us present and seeing the grace through them. In fact, I've worked with horses a lot, and horses are incredibly intuitive, and they reflect back to us exactly what we're feeling and what we're thinking. And one of the beautiful things about working with horses is I used to start a lot of young horses under saddle. And you do that by bringing them into an arena and turning them loose. That's the way I do it. Actually turn them loose. Work them at liberty. And there's this point where the horse is going around you and you're just being with them, and the horse and you begin to bond. And through this bond, the horse begins to gain trust in you. And at one point, your energy being really soft and accepting, they'll stop and walk in and touch you. And this is a young horse that hasn't been handled much. You can do this with wild Mustangs. You can do this with horses that have been abused. They come in and touch you in absolute trust. And this is grace. Once that bond of trust has been connected and joined with you, it's actually called the joining up. They will always have that trust until you break it. And one of the things that I've never been able to do, but I've seen do, is horses worked at liberty. like three horses completely loose with their the person that they trust, this bond has been joined with, they can work outside, like on a beach, in an open field, and they will work beautifully together and with you, running, leaping, rearing, and in joy. It's a joyful, joyful union, and this is grace, but it can't be forced. You can't have any kind of forcing. You can't make them do anything. You have to be completely surrendered. You have to be in complete trust and in joy for the horses to work at liberty. And I'm actually going to show a video of that tonight when I talk during my little half hour thing of horses working at liberty. So this is, again, animals, beautiful ways, like dogs saving people, dogs being so present and so wanting to please and be your companion. Animals are a wonderful way that grace embraces us in our lives. Okay, I'm going to play a contemplation song, and all of you contemplate, and then we will be open for open sharing. So bear with me while I share my screen for another song. This one is Matthew Redman, Your Grace Finds Me. Thank you, everyone. So it's time for our open sharing. Would anybody like to share how grace comes into their life, how they embrace grace, or how they miss grace? And also, Don will put a link up for donations. Awakening Together is run completely on donations. We can't give this service without your generous donations. So please, if you feel within your heart, to donate. And just raise your hand or go ahead and start sharing, anybody that would like to share. And Don, if you could help me watch for hands, I appreciate it. There's the link in the chat.
Carla has her hand up.
Oh, go Carla. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is perfect. Sometimes usually I go to church at 8:30 and I don't get a chance to share. And so I'm so grateful that you gave me that time to share. So this is exactly what is happening in my life now. Grace is, well, it's always been happening. It's always been happening. And I think what I want to share is that I said yes. I said yes to grace. I said yes to life. I said yes to love. And there's been moments when it's been challenging. Yet my practice has been, in the most challenging part, I go, this too, somehow, I don't know how, and I can't feel it at this moment, but this is the highest and best. And I say yes, and I ask for support to see that, and things somehow shift. I can't anticipate how. And sometimes they don't look like that's what is happening. It's a shift. It doesn't seem like, but I still stay in that place in my heart that I'm trusting. And that's so valuable when you talk about the horse. But that's me and my experience. And it's everybody's experience probably. But when I said yes to the trust, and to trust life, which is what grace is, and feel. Sometimes I have to feel if I feel, but I really feel that however it looks, however it feels, and usually that's ego trying to get in the way of me, the trusting grace, that I allow grace to unfold. And when that does, it becomes a real spectacular, whatever it is, it's spectacular. And I don't know that I can explain it anymore, but I guess I'm mostly done, but thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Carla. That's beautiful. I felt your heartfelt message in that. It's so true. Grace is amazing. Love to hear about it. Anybody else like to share? How does grace move in your life? Or examples of how grace has blessed you? Or examples of how you've missed it? Tony, thank you. Go right ahead.
Just recently, well, thank you very much for this talk. Your talk on grace really reminded me that sometimes I forget it. And just recently, we have two cats here that live in our house, and we had went on vacation, and when we came back, one of our cats, the 17-year-old female cat, she used one of our rooms as a litter box. You know, there was just urine everywhere. And this is not something that's been, not new. I mean, in the basement, I have 4 litter boxes and 2 cats, and this cat will not, you know, use the box, either any of them. So, you know, there was some frustration already growing. And but when we came home from vacation, I was so angry and frustrated at this cat. I'm like, she's done. She's 17 years old. She's near the end of her life. You know, I was bringing up all these reasons why she needed to be put down, mainly because I felt like she was ruining our house. So, and now we have decided to replace all of the flooring in our house because it's all 25 years old, and the cat gave me like a good reason to do that. So, we bought this cat for my 9-year-old, who at the time my son was 9. Well, he's 26 now. So I said, Dylan, we're going to be putting Lily down, and I just wanted you to know that if you want to come and say goodbye to her, you know. And he became very, very upset with me because we were going to put her down. He couldn't understand why a perfectly healthy cat had to be put down. And so, you know, I felt in my mind I was very adamant about this decision, and he said, I'll take her. And I'm like, that's a mistake. That really shouldn't be happening. And but as I said this to myself, I didn't tell him that. And so, but at some point I thought, okay, go ahead and take her. You're going to find out for yourself that this cat's going to cause problems for you, and then it's going to cause problems between your relationship with you and your girlfriend that you live with, because she's not going to like all the urine and the vomit, whatever else this cat's going through. But so he came and got her, and I just kind of let that happen. I came to some sort of decision, you know, that's okay. And then when you talk today about Grace, this is one of those hindsight things where I feel like it's a reminder that I don't know anything. You know, the eye that wants to be right, the eye that wants to say this is a wrong move, that this shouldn't be happening, that this is what's going to happen, A, B, C, and D. How do I know what's going to happen? How do I know what the reason for is for this cat to go into someone else's home? I have no clue. And your talk about Grace today really reminded me that surrendering to what is and allowing everything to be the way it is, and be open to the outcome and don't expect what's going to happen. And it was just really touched my heart, and it reminded me to really let go and allow Grace to be in charge. So thank you so much, Shauna. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Animals can be some of our very great teachers, can't they? And just so much to learn from our animals. And that's a beautiful example of letting Grace move through us. Thank you, Tony. Anybody else like to share how Grace moves?
Laura would like to share. Laura Bedford.
Awesome. Go ahead, Laura. Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Go for it, Laura. I unmuted you.
Okay, great. I'm just learning the Zoom platform. So thank you. Yeah, I have a fun Grace story that happened yesterday. I'm dog sitting for my brother's 3 dogs, and I have a dog of my own. And it's always an inner juggle in terms of getting everybody outside, and there's a lot of, one of the dogs is especially strong and not really well under control. And so I had hooked up my dog's Serenity, whose name used to be Surrender, and this bigger dog to a screw out in the yard with a couple of tethers so they could hang out while I walked the smaller dog. And then down the pathway, there's a path behind my brother's house, and there was a man walking 2 big dogs. And the bigger dog named Rasta just bolted, who was connected to this screw in the ground, this tether. And all I saw was my own dog kind of flying through the air. So he'd jerked the screw in the ground free. My dog got caught in the experience of it. And fortunately, the bigger dog stopped. But in the meantime, in my sort of confusion, and I had dropped the leash of the smaller dog who went bolting toward these other two big dogs. And I had to get the other two under control. So I ran and tied them to a tree or the leashes. And everything was fine with the man and his two dogs. They were very kind and very pleasant. It just felt like an incredible, just thank you, God, that everybody was okay. A lot could have turned out differently in that moment. So it just kind of it turned out to be a very funny story of seeing my dog fly by my face and everybody survived and in a good way. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. Again, another great animal story. And as Susan wrote in the chat board, serenity, formerly known as surrender. That's great. I love it. Okay, does anybody else have anything they'd like to share? Thank you, Dawn. Yes, go ahead.
When I used to go to a different kind of church, like, not virtual, they talked about grace. And one of the definitions I loved about it was unmerited favor. So, and how they look on it is God has this unmerited favor on us, meaning, your heart, your soul, everything that you are belongs to God. You are God. You're his own. So unmerited favor means that you don't have to earn this. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be good enough, measure up, be better than. You can come just as you are, flaws and all, no matter what you're feeling. From, if you raged out or you're angry or you're sad or you're depressed, God loves you just as you are. And I feel like that's the, open acceptance. I feel like that's the message for us to be, because ultimately, as we see, we are that, thou art that. And so the call is, can we give that gift of grace to ourselves, but also others? Can we give that unmerited favor to others, regardless of how the circumstances look, regardless of how the person looks, regardless of how the behavior looks, in the midst of it all, unmerited favor. That's grace. Okay, giving up the mic.
Thank you, Dawn. Yes, that's beautiful. In the chat board, Jay wrote, open acceptance. And Carla wrote, grace to me, the action of God in our lives. Yes. I love that idea, Dawn, that unmerited. I used to think that grace was a reward. It was something that I had to measure up to, that I had to do to get.
Unmerited what favor? I didn't. Oh, that's okay.
Okay, Tony, you're not.
Tony, did you want to say something?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I had unmuted myself.
No worries, thank you. So yeah, I used to think I had to do something to get grace. It's unmerited, exactly, Dawn. That's a great, great point. We don't have to earn it. We come as we are, faults and all.
I feel like that's a good place to leap from for unconditional love. You start with the unmerited favor, which is the grace, and then that leads eventually or hopefully to unconditional love. Okay, letting go.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. It is absolutely unconditional. Grace is unconditional. As you mentioned, we don't have to favor it. We don't have to be anything for it to just drop in and change our life, change our perspective. I think that grace just comes through awakening together. I mean, here we are in a virtual reality, looking at each other from all different states and countries, yet we are connected. We are connected because this is one. Okay. I'm hearing an echo, though, Dawn.
Dan, are you ready to speak? Because you're unmuted.
I just wanted to thank you, Shauna, for the message. Today, and what a wonderful reminder. I lately things have been a little tight, and I'm reminded that none of us know, I don't know, the experience I'm going to need to come to my own realization that I don't know, that I can't figure it out, that it's not up to me to figure out. And I just love the reminder that every experience is potentially that moment right before grace. You know, like when grace comes, we go, oh, here it is. But there was a moment right before where it just seemed tight to see, like, this isn't it, and what's wrong, and fighting and fighting. So it's just a reminder to me to really stay open and stay aware of when I think I got to figure the whole thing out and I start getting tighter and tighter, you know, that too is grace leading me to the openness, which then, as you so aptly pointed, it's one of the ways that we invite grace in is to literally be aware of openness to grace. So I just really want to thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Good reminder, good point, that moment just before grace. I didn't even think of that. That didn't come to me. That's beautiful. Yes. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else like to share?
Yes, Shauna, I'll speak.
Go ahead.
It's funny. I just tried to unmute myself, and for the first time, it wouldn't unmute, so I had to close the whole thing down. So I don't know what that tells me, but you know, I'm not one to speak a lot, but we did get to know each other, and I wanted to thank you for this beautiful topic that you used, because grace is abiding all over. I just feel it. Recently, I had a diagnosis, and when my friend heard, she asked me, you know, what's on your bucket list? And I said, well, I couldn't think of anything right off the bat, but then it dawned on me that there was a retreat coming up at La Vida. And so I told her I'd love to go to Colorado and be part of the retreat. And she said, so why not? Let's do it. So she accompanied me, made all the arrangements, got the car, got the travel tickets, everything, drove me there, arranged for different places for us to visit on our way to La Vida, and it was just fabulous. Everything would just fell into place beautifully, and that shows that, you know, when you think that things can't get any worse, how grace comes in and just shows you this is amazing, how the family has stepped up and everybody is just feels closer and warmer and more willing to do things that they wouldn't have thought to do before. So thank you for this topic. That was a great sermon you gave. And I also loved spending time with you. We had some beautiful lunches in La Vida. I love that area. And hopefully come visit again. So looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you, honey. Bye, all.
Thank you, Lynn. That was so sweet. It was so fun to spend time with you also at the retreat house. And Blackie, the black horse that we discovered and loved together, says hi. Okay, thank you, everyone, for listening, for being here. And I'm so grateful to Guidance, Holy Spirit, Inner Teacher, for coming through me and blessing everyone that's here, that's listening on the radio, that's listening to the audio recording later. And please, if you feel to donate, thank you. I love you all. And I'm turning it over to Dawn. Thank you.